Welcome to Thundercast, Thunder Tech's podcast where we give you our take on what's new in marketing, what's cool, what's lame, and why you should care.
Hi, this is Communication Specialist Tom Valentino welcoming you to Thunder Tech World Headquarters for another edition of Thundercast. In today's episode, we have a very special guest, but first want to take care of a bit of housekeeping. If you haven't done so already, we really encourage you to check out our Trends Summer Reader magazine. It was just published in July. In the magazine, we revisited some of the topics that we covered in our marketing trends book from last winter, and then we talked with some clients and friends of the agency to see how they're actually putting these tactics into practice. It's a free magazine. It's available on Apple iBooks, Google Play Books, and you can download the PDF version at thundertech.com/trends2015. Or if you'd like the print edition, I will personally see to it that you get one. Just email me at tom.valentino@thundertech.com. All right, on to the main event here. We have a very special guest, as I promised. He is the founder of the Content Marketing Institute, the leading education and training organization for content marketing, winner of the 2014 John Caldwell Lifetime Achievement Award from the Content Council. His third book, Epic Content Marketing, How to Tell a Different Story, Break Through the Clutter, and Win More Customers by Marketing Less, was named one of the 5 must-read business books of 2013 by Fortune Magazine. Folks, he's the godfather of content marketing. Mr. Joe Polizzi, how are you, sir?
I'm fantastic, Tom. It's great to be here.
Yeah, we appreciate you taking the time. I know you're a very busy man right now. Have a certain event coming up here very soon.
We do. We have, as this is being recorded, less than 40 days to the big show, September 8th through 11th, Content Marketing World, and we're just getting excited. You know, hopefully, just the registrations hopefully will continue to come in. We're expecting well over 3,000 marketers from 50 countries, and It's the one time where all the content marketing professionals can get together and actually commiserate with each other about the challenges that remain in organizations all across the world regarding how do we build an audience through content marketing.
Pretty cool to have this in Cleveland, right here in town. What is it about this city that makes it such a great destination to have this event in?
Well, like you know, I'm a Cleveland guy. Absolutely, will do anything it takes to help Cleveland get to the level. It's sort of a hidden secret. I mean, when I go out, I'm lucky enough to be able to travel all over the world. And for those people that have been to Cleveland, they say only wonderful things. I love Cleveland. I have family in Cleveland. For those of you get the negative reactions from people that haven't been there because of maybe all the stereotypical things about people that think about Cleveland. But what I love is for that week, we can actually. And we'll sell out every hotel room in downtown Cleveland. Everybody's together from the food to the entertainment, whether you're looking at, hey, I want to take the family to Cedar Point, which is an hour away, to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, to the number of Broadway-type shows we have here. It's just a fantastic place to be, great place to raise your family. But I love getting people into town because I love when they're surprised. I love that they... We can do things in Cleveland that you can't do for an event, let's say in Chicago or New York, because we can have signage at the airport. We can have certain people be welcomed at the airport. The taxi drivers know about the event. When you go to your hotel, there's people wearing buttons. You can't get that in other cities. So we like the personal attention being the largest recurring business event in Cleveland. But yeah, I'm just excited. It's a little bit tough this year, as you know, because everything's under construction with the Republican National Convention coming in here next year. So 2016, it's going to be in pristine shape. So right now, there's a little bit of construction, but I think we're all willing to keep powering through that just because we see what's happening with downtown Cleveland. It's pretty special.
Quite a few orange barrels around town, but yep. We all know you love the color orange. So
we'll just say we placed them there, and that's just the way it is.
Branding. So,
exactly.
All right. Any topics in particular on the agenda that you're really interested in, any speakers that you want to hear from?
Well, we have, I think, over 120 sessions or something this year. It's some ungodly number of sessions, and you have to do that to make sure that the 3,000 people have somewhere to go. But what I love about it is the number of companies that bring their teams. And when we first started this 5 years ago, it was... it was great because we had one person from one company, one person from another company. But as you get indoctrinated with a content marketing strategy and you take it back to the organization, you basically get the hand in the face saying, hey, no, this is the way we do things, because you have to have that culture change. It's tough to do it by yourself. Now you've got teams bringing their SEO person, their social media person, their PR person, their comms person, marketing, so, you know, all the different flavors. And I think we had 33 companies bring over 7 people last year. And that's what I think I love the best about it, because you come in as a team, you work on it, you get your strategy formulated, and you can get back to the office and get down to work. So I like that aspect of it. So we, of course, have social media sessions, search sessions, how content marketing integrates with PR, how it integrates with advertising and paid media. So a little bit of everything. Of course, I'm partial to the ROI and measurement courses, so we've got a whole track based on that, as well as B2B and B2C and small and large and everything else like that. The headliners, of course, Sir John Cleese, you know, from Monty Python fame. I'm super excited about that. He's doing a talk on creativity that I just can't wait to hear. We just signed up Nick Offerman from Parks and Recreation fame. I actually don't know if he's going to have his mustache or not, so we'll see if that happens. But, you know, an author, comedian, writer, it's going to be interesting to see what his take is. Of course, it'll be humorous, but I really do want to hear his take on what's going on in media. What do you think? How have you dealt with it, you know, rising to attention the way he did? And of course, we like to have fun at Content Marketing World, so we have the Bare Naked Ladies performing as well. And it's a lot of learning, but what we've learned from doing this event for so many years is you have to have fun first. Yeah. You have to let go a little bit. You have to enjoy yourself. And if you're enjoying yourself, you're more apt to learn and take away from the sessions.
It's kind of an interesting tie-in, bringing in celebrities and maybe not necessarily folks that you would necessarily associate with content marketing, but really, I mean, they're creating content. They've got a personal brand that they're putting out there, and the fit's a little bit more natural than it might appear on the surface.
We've been trying to do that. And I mean, we had Kevin Spacey last year, and people thought, you know, and he had an amazing take on storytelling. We had Kevin Smith, you know, Silent Bob fame the first year, and everybody's like, Joe, why did you bring him? Well, when you realize that he's built a podcast platform and a loyal audience. I mean, that's what all these marketers are trying to do. They're trying to do the same thing. It's just a little bit different, whether William Shatner and the list goes on and on. They're all trying to build their own audiences. They all have their own struggles, their takes, but they've been fairly successful with it. We think, oh, no, that's not for us. We're B2B or we're small business, but we're all trying to do the same thing. How do we create valuable, relevant, compelling content to develop a loyal audience over time? And if we develop that audience, they'll know, like, and trust us and ultimately buy more from us. That's a simple publishing strategy that's been done for hundreds of years that still the majority of marketers are having a tough time doing, because we think in such short spurts and we're not thinking about how do we build an audience for the long term.
Sure. I want to circle back with you. You had mentioned how a lot of companies, when they're coming to Content Marketing World, they're bringing their social people, their SEO people, and from all the different departments. Can you tell us a little bit about just your philosophy and how critical it is to get consistent messaging across different platforms, and that COPE strategy of, you know, create once, publish everywhere?
There's sessions for every size company at Content Marketing World, but we have always catered to the larger businesses. Mid-market and up is sort of our sweet spot. And it is amazing as you go into these companies, and let's say I'm thinking about one in particular. I'm not going to say the name, but they have 7 different product managers. And those 7 different product managers own the budgets for marketing, advertising, and content creation and whatnot. And what we've seen in that particular company is each one has their own content marketing group, and none of them talk to each other. I mean, think about that.
Yeah.
In the same company, I mean, I've done meet and greets with content marketing director from this silo to this silo that they didn't even know each other exists. I said, you two should be talking. You need to be on the same page. And what you don't realize is content in any way, shape, or form, consistent content sort of takes into consideration or should be the centerpiece of everything we do, whether that's PR or our traditional marketing, our advertising strategy. That's how we're communicating. That's kind of our authenticity with our customers. And you cannot do it in a silo and be critically effective. Now, what if everybody is on the same page? And that's what I think what we're fighting for, where content marketing, I've been in this industry for 20 years now, it was always the publishing group within some company, or somebody's doing the newsletter, or somebody's doing the magazine. and they were sort of discounted. But what we've seen over the past 7-8 years is those people are really important now, because what we figured is nobody really cares about our products except for a very small portion of the buyer's journey. Well, what are we going to do to communicate with them the other 99% of the time? That's our relevant, valuable, remarkable content that we're trying to differentiate ourselves and tell a different story. If you can get everybody on the same page, you will make an impact. But if you don't, it tends to be campaign oriented, very short spurts, as we talked about, and you tend to not have an ownership over a certain content category. It's sort of fleeting. It's like, oh, we're trying to launch this product, so let's talk about these stories. No, what we really want to focus on is, who's the audience? How are we trying to impact their lives and their jobs in some way? And then how do we get everybody on the same page telling that story? You know, of course, companies like Red Bull have been able to do that. Marriott put a stake in the ground and said, we're going to be the leading informational provider for travel and tourism. I love that. They set the vision, and now they're putting it together. It's honestly, I don't know if you're a small business or a large business listening to this, it's honestly a lot easier for small businesses because you don't have the political red tape. In a large company, who owns content? Everybody thinks they own content. In a small business, if you get the CMO or the CEO that says, this is the how we're going to communicate with our customers, it's just a heck of a lot easier. So yeah, if you get everybody on the same page and on the same strategy, and that, I think just to wrap that up, that's what we've learned. Most companies don't even have a strategy for this. It's sort of like, oh, we should do a blog, or let's be on social media. Well, what are we trying to do with that? We're trying to engage. Well, what the heck does that mean? Let's spell it out, figure out why are we doing this from a business standpoint and what impact we're trying to make on our audiences.
When you talk with marketers from middle market organizations, are there any particular pain points that you hear coming up from them, frustrations? Is it dealing with the C-level, getting buy-in? Is it something else?
Buy-in's critical. From a buy-in standpoint with the mid-market size companies, you have to do a couple things. First of all, we like saying, let's start up with a pilot. Like a pilot, like a television show does. Let's get your executive team in the room and say, this is what we're trying to do. Now, we know to be effective, this is going to take more than 12 months. But I know everybody in this room is impatient. Just set the expectations and say, here's what we're going to do in the first 6 months. I'm going to get you all back together. I'm going to give you some of the data, mostly probably qualitative at that point. But I'm going to give you enough ammunition so that we can go on, move on from there. Because most content marketing programs take over 12 months to really build a loyal audience over time and to really make an impact. Plus, if you're a B2B middle market company, you have to at least go through one buying cycle. That may be 9 to 12 months. So it may take some time to do that. The other way to kind of combat that is my favorite, which a lot of people don't like to use, is just fear. Just take a lead competitor and start to do some Google searches and start to show like where they're active and some of the press that they're getting. And you'll say, hey, this competitor is doing this because they have a story to tell that's resonating. We do not. Maybe that's what we need, and there's nothing that kicks them in the pants more than seeing their competition do that. So I like those types of things. But really, it's just the basic blocking and tackling. It's, do we have a strategy? Who is the audience? And that particular audience, because a mid-market company will want to say, look, we want to create content, so let's create content for 3 or 4 or 5 of our buyer personas. Well, you can't do that effectively at one time. Let's focus on one. Let's be the leading resource about something that we have some authority to communicate over one. Let's build an audience over that area and then move forward. And it's just a basic strategy. And then meeting every week or every other week with your team, with your editorial folks, your in-house journalists if you have them, maybe your outside agency if you're working with an agency. Bring those people together and say, this is the working document. It's alive and well. It changes every day. This is what we're trying to do. This is why we're trying to do it. And this ultimately, these are the metrics we're looking at. Patience. Just got to be patient. You don't see a lot of, especially when it comes from companies that haven't done it before, they're like, oh, hey, we've been blogging for 3 months. Why haven't we seen anything? Well, how long does it take to create a relationship with somebody? A lot longer than 3 months. But you think of it more like advertising, like I'm sending out an ad and I should see, or direct mail or an email blast or some sponsorship and I should see impact right away. You're not going to. So you have to have that longer term outlet. So if you're a mid-market marketer in an organization like that, you have to keep preaching patience. And if you don't set those expectations right the first time, you're probably going to be looking for another gig, I would imagine, at some point.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. I understand we need to be patient, and there's not necessarily going to be gangbusters returns, but there's a lot of different channels and a lot of different platforms where you can get your messaging out, where you can tell your story. Is there any advice that you could share in terms of like the thought process? Like, what is the right platform for me to be on? And is there a point where I need to realize, hey, this isn't the right channel for us. We need to try something else.
Well, everything is an experiment, so that's okay. I mean, it's as long as you have some kind of hypothesis for why you're doing it, and then you're going to experiment in certain channels. But so what's really interesting is I just finished my fourth book. So after Epic, Content Inc. is the new book. It's being released at Content Marketing World. And we interviewed the most successful entrepreneurs and small businesses about how they built an audience and monetized that audience. So we went out, and in each and every scenario, we found that they were building the base the same way. So what does that mean? One main content type. It was textual, it was audio, it was video. So one main one. To your point before, do we publish in other social platforms? Absolutely, but there's a content hub that becomes the place. What's the platform then? One platform. That could be your blog, your website, could be YouTube, could be iTunes. Consistently delivered. Hardly any companies do this. If you are going to do a video series, you do it every Monday. Like clockwork, you deliver it at the same time. Same thing with a podcast. You deliver it consistently to build that audience, to set those expectations that that content is a promise from you, and then the consistency over time. Like, I thought when we were interviewing these companies, it'd be all different. It'd be all over the place. It'd be some amazingly complex formula about how these small businesses were going from zero to multi-million dollar companies in a very short period of time. Everyone followed that same model. One content type, one platform of choice, consistently delivered over time. So from when you think about that, do you look at your culture of your organization? Like, do you have really good people that are, let's say, good on video, or really good editors that can put together some interesting videos on an ongoing basis, or good agencies that you work with on that? Or maybe you have an organization that has a face for podcasting, let's say. Whatever the case is, or is it mostly textual? Do you have some subject matter experts that are really good at writing? Whatever, and then you can kind of figure out the platform. So if it's textual, then you'd say, well, the blog makes the most sense. If it's audio, well, that's easy. It's probably iTunes or Stitcher is your platform. If it's video, it's probably YouTube or Vimeo. So then you start making but that's, again, too far down the line, because we haven't figured out the area where we can be the leading expert in the world on something, informational, entertainment, whatever the case is. Then you go into building the base. So I would say, look, yes, do we want to publish once? Do we want to then look at our channel strategy and look, how are we communicating in each one of these social channels? Absolutely. But we've got to figure out what our main home base is, consistently deliver to that, and then leverage those other platforms, which we have no control over, which, as we've seen with Google Plus going downhill, that is really nothing anymore, with Facebook taking away our publishing right in some cases and only showing it to less than 1% of our audience. YouTube does the same thing, where if your videos don't show up very well for your subscribers, they'll stop showing them. Mm-hmm. I mean, those are critical things. So we use the social platforms for how we can right now, but focus on the ones that we can control, and that's all about our blog, our website, and then hopefully the metric of choice is subscribers, email subscribers, where we're actually getting opt-in permission to communicate with our audience ongoing.
You mentioned consistency in setting that schedule and making it like clockwork. I think that not only sets an expectation for your audience, and they're going to know, hey, every Monday this blog post is going to come up from the company I'm following, mm-hmm. or the next podcast is going to drop. I think it also helps you to create better content, and it's going to want to make people want to come back and seek your stuff out more often. I know somebody I've followed and listened to quite a bit, Jerry Seinfeld, talked about never breaking the chain, where he would write new material, and I think he still does this every single day, and he always marks an X on the calendar. And I mean, that's extreme. I don't know if you're going to be posting, or a company is going to be posting something every single day on a blog or whatnot, but just getting into that rhythm and helping to develop your voice. Do you see that being an effective thing as well as a marketer?
Actually, the Jerry Seinfeld example is really important, because do you watch his video, Comedians in Cars with Having Coffee?
I've watched several,
okay.
Yeah.
When that first started, it didn't do very well. it actually took quite a long time, but he consistently delivers those videos. I think they're on their third, fourth year. And now I see him everywhere. Everybody's sharing them on social. They're getting more and more of an audience. It takes time, even for Jerry Seinfeld.
Happened with his show.
That's exactly right. If you had looked at that in the first 3 months, they'd have canceled it, right?
It
took a while to get going. And I think people think that this is some instantaneous thing. It never is in publishing. I mean, when I worked at Penton for a long time ago for a lot of years. So Penton Media, we published magazines, newsletters, and whatever. We set three-year plans. We set three-year plans not because financially and fiscally it was good, which it was, but it's because we knew it took a long time to build an audience with that group of people that maybe didn't know us or maybe didn't know that we are the experts in this area. So you have to prove that over and over. Seth Godin's another great example. What's it been? 13 years in a row he hasn't missed a day? Now, that's extreme example, but pick the consistency that you can with the resources you have. If that's once a week, if it's every other week, whatever it is, set that in stone, do the plan, and then produce ahead of time so that you have some buffer room where you're not like a lot of companies are, hey, who's doing the blog post today? I don't know. Bob's in charge of the blog. Well, go find Bob. Bob's out today. Oh, my God, what are we going to do? Bob's not here. There's not going to be a blog. And that's how it is for a lot of mid-market companies. It's amazing. So we have to treat it like an asset. And if you treat it like a product, you'd never do that with your brand. Never say, oh my God, we got to be on the shelves today. What are we going to do? No, you don't do that. You plan ahead. You got distribution. You have resources that you have to expend ahead of time. And that's how we have to start thinking about content.
All right. Just to wrap things up here, I wanted to circle back to content marketing world. Are there any, for folks who have been in the past, is there anything in particular they can expect that's going to be different this year or something new to look forward to?
Besides a lot bigger. So the exhibit floor, it's amazing the amount of new products and services that have been launched in the industry. So I think we've got over 100 exhibitors this year, which is a record for us. A lot of new products out there. So depending on email, marketing automation, content collaboration tools, they'll all be there. So that's good. You can see that. I mean, I'm excited to see the big room. I've never seen, we're a big show for the convention center. I love the new convention center, but it's a big show in there, and it'll be nice seeing all those people. We've got a couple things planned about how it's going to look, and we're expending a lot of money and resources to make sure it's a first-class experience all the way. We're making sure the hotels know. So when you're in Cleveland, you're feeling like it's home, feeling like these people care about you. So maybe it's because it is this, Cleveland mentality where we feel we've got to go the extra mile. And I love that about the entrepreneurs and business owners here. It's like we've got to be better. And I think we are better in a lot of ways because we sort of have that chip on our shoulders. But, I think that depending on where, it doesn't even matter where you're at in your maturity for content marketing or what you do in the whether it's content creation or distribution or paid or PR or integration, you will go there and so we have 11 concurrent sessions. I promise you that there will be at least two sessions in each time that you'll have a tough time choosing between because it's so relevant to you. And that's sort of how we try to make it so that people have a tough time deciding. So they'll say, hey, maybe we should bring some more people so we can split up. And that's sort of how we gave the system there.
Too many good options. That's a great problem to have.
That's what we have to do it that way. It's a lot of competition in the event space. So we have to do it that way.
Well, I, for one, am looking forward to attending. It is Content Marketing World. It's going to be September 8th through 11th at the Cleveland Convention Center. If you want to register or get any additional information, contentmarketingworld.com. Joe Polizzi, thank you very much for joining us today.
Tom, thanks for having me, and I'm looking forward to being on the next one.
All right, appreciate it. Folks, if you are interested in subscribing, we have Thundercast available for subscription on Stitcher or iTunes. We always encourage you to review us on iTunes. If there's any topics you'd like to hear about in the future or you just want to give us your 2 cents, you can tweet us at ThunderTech or email thundercast@thundertech.com.